Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
We all face leadership challenges, and we face team challenges. And here's what I firmly believe. They will never go away. Okay? No matter how good you get, you will always need to be a little bit better leader. No matter how long, far along you are as an owner, as a dentist, you will always have team turnover and team change. So you'll always be battling this whole thing. Or if you have the same team, you'll have team complacency. But what I do know is that if we fix fundamental flaws in our practice, some of that unhappiness and discontent goes away by winning.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, T-Bone. And again, we are without Meredith because she has delivered a baby and is taking care of her baby. But she is back at work, working from home. That's one of the nice things about what she does. And one of the things I love about her is that she doesn't stop working. But we are giving her plenty of time and forcing her to take time away from us. But we're excited to have her back in full force here in the coming month or so. This week, I'm going to be doing another interview with Dr. Ryan Simone of Norfolk, Virginia. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How's it going?
I cannot complain. Have you been celebrating Dental Hygiene Week?
Is it Dental Hygiene Week?
Dental Hygienist Week.
You know, it's Dental Hygienist Week every week at my practice.
Same. Same. It's dental everything every week at my practice. It always, yeah. So let's not go down that road.
Fair enough.
So Ryan is a member of our mastermind program here at 3D Dentist. He joined in January 2022, and he is continuing on. And so we want to take the opportunity to talk to Ryan about a little bit about his practice background, what brought him to the mastermind program, what things he's implemented, what challenges he's facing, and kind of where he wants his practice to go moving forward. So that's kind of where our conversation is going to center around. And I know that you guys are going to relate to Ryan because a lot of the things that he's going through is what we all go through, especially early in our career. So Ryan, let's start with this. Let's take a few minutes to kind of give a quick background in terms of how long you've been out of school, how you ended up in Norfolk, Virginia, how you bought your practice. Let's kind of start with that.
Cool. Yeah, so I graduated from USC, that's Southern California, not South Carolina, in 2016, and stayed out in Los Angeles for another 3 years or so because my wife and I loved living in Southern California. Took a job. I was lucky to get a job in LA as an associate, And it was for a Pacific Dental Services office in Hermosa Beach. And honestly, all things considered, it wasn't bad. It was like I got to work with Sarek every day and learn how to be a dentist, basically, and learn a little bit about things I didn't want to do as well. So about 3 years in, I kind of hit the point of feeling like, okay, I'm ready to try this on my own and not be part of a DSO. It was like I'd rather die trying to do it on my own than have to play by someone else's rules, honestly.
Famous last words.
For some people, right. But so I linked up with actually, it's funny, and swear to God, this is the truth, but it was ultimately because of Mastermind that I found this practice. Uh-huh. I was thinking about this today because it was Joe Busaba, who is a friend of Davey, okay. Turner, a good friend of mine,
right.
Was practicing in Richmond, Virginia, where my sister-in-law lived. And this is right. We took a trip back east to go to a friend's wedding. And I was just getting primed, like, I'm going to find a practice. I want to do this. Richmond looked like a strong contender for where we maybe would move back to. Or because I'm from Norfolk originally, and my wife is as okay. well. And so we reached a point where it's like California isn't sustainable. This has been great, but we got to go back to our family. So Davey connected me with Joe, and he had connected me with some practice brokers that he had spoken to. He had just recently bought a practice in Richmond, which funnily enough was a friend of mine's dad's practice. Anyway, but he put me in touch with a guy who ended up putting me in touch with Marshall, who I bought my practice from. So,
are you sure this isn't kind of some kind of mob deal you're talking about?
Which one?
Like, he put me in touch with the guy who put me in touch with the guy who put me in touch with the guy.
I just had to give a carton of cigarettes to them, and then there were a couple of televisions involved that fell off a truck. I don't know much else about it.
Okay, but,
so you
got introduced to this practice.
I got introduced to the practice through a broker who was not affiliated with one of the five families.
Okay, perfect.
And I talked to Marshall on the phone when I was in California still, and realized we knew some of the same people, but didn't necessarily hit it off on the phone, but it was like weird to meet someone on the phone. Anyway, I never forgot about his practice because it seemed kind of like the type of practice I wanted to have, which was comprehensive care. He had a cone beam. I thought that was pretty cool. That he was doing a big variety of dentistry. He was doing implants, and I wanted to get into that. And more than anything is he seemed like he could be a good mentor to me. And that's kind of what I felt like. Yeah. If I could write the narrative of like what I wanted and what I was looking for, it was try to find a practice that you can buy where the seller is going to be a mentor to you. Like that seemed kind of ideal to me. So a few months go by and I come home for Christmas. I meet Marshall. We hung out like for like 3 hours that night, and it was obviously a really good fit. And I knew that night that I was going to buy the practice. So
it sounds like it was love at first sight. We're going to get married tomorrow.
It was kind of, you know, perfect. I think that in me, he saw someone that I showed respect to him, and his father started the practice and he expanded on the practice. And I think he had met with some folks that came in and kind of, he got the sense that maybe they just wanted to kind of do away with him and go their own direction with things right away. But I was kind of like, no, man, there's a lot that I have to learn. And you've built something really nice. And, you know, you've got a couple decades of experience on me. I could afford to learn a thing or two from you. And I'm not going to push you out right away. And he's also the type who wants to teach.
Yeah. So you bought it. So you guys got together. It was the right fit, right situation, right opportunity. You bought the practice. Did you buy right away? Did you associate and then transition to buying?
I bought it right away. Interestingly, though, I meet him. It's all great. We get married. Fly back to California, January 2020. So right before COVID. And basically, we made plans to move back to the to drive back across the country. And so we pulled in town March 13th. It was a Friday the 13th. And that was like when the world shut down. We pulled in Wednesday the 11th. And then that Friday, it all went weird. Anyhow, we were set. We had an asset purchase agreement good to go for April like 3rd or something. And then, of course, COVID. So we didn't know what was going to happen. But the banks were not going to originate a new loan when, you know, they were like, yeah, you know, it was like the height of COVID. So it was like, okay, this is interesting. This is going to push things back a little bit, but we'll get this done. And we stayed open through the pandemic, working like a half day to two half days a week, basically just keeping people out of the emergency room. And it was like that for a couple months, I guess, before we slowly started to ramp back up. And everyone that was practicing in that time remembers what it was like. It's kind of unique, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but to slowly kind of ramp up. But point is that pushed out the actual, I didn't actually purchase the practice until like August 3rd was the soonest that I could make arrangements. And it worked out better for me because, you know, the interest rates had dropped and all that stuff. But I did buy it outright. And
okay. And Marshall's, you guys initially planned for Marshall to stick around?
Yes. And there was never.
Did he cut down time? Did he stay the same amount?
He cut his hours back to like working in the mornings. And this is, of course, coming back out of like being closed for COVID, or like basically closed for COVID. So when we came back kind of full steam ahead, his clinical hours were like in the morning. But he still, you know, would kind of stick around in the afternoon. So like go get a bite to eat, maybe come back and like work on stuff, whatever that is, you know, like his own cases or, you know, especially in the beginning, like the first implant I placed was in this office with him kind of like close by if I needed him and everything went fine. But kind of like just kind of there in the background.
Okay, I got you. Is there an exit plan for Marshall? Is he still there? What's the plan there?
He's still here. And he's cut his time back further. And so he's like,
okay,
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, and that's it.
Okay. So he's like semi-retired at this point.
Yeah. He's doing it cause he's for the love of the game, really. And honestly, like it's his identity. Like this practice is his life, you know, for better or worse. It's not like he's like a big, like a sail, like he's like, I got to get on my sailboat or something, you know, like dentistry is his hobby as much as it is, as it was, is his career. So, and we get along too. So it is, I like having him around and I certainly benefit a lot from it, you know, so.
So you've owned the practice about 3 years now.
Yeah.
All right. So about 2 years in, a little less than 2 years in, what made you, or what challenge were you facing that you were looking to get some help from our mastermind program?
I knew pretty early on that I was going, that I had a problem with basically the team, like the staff. And I still don't understand it fully as to why Marshall could, like, I'm like, do you see these people? Like, are you, you know? Like, I didn't understand it, although he wanted to micromanage everything. And I guess he felt like he could sort of work around everyone. But I saw it as like, okay, well, that's great that he wanted to do that. And when he goes away, though, and I'm left with people that I don't think really want to go where I want to go, that's kind of scary. That's sort of a problem. So I need to figure out how to be a leader and how to sort of redesign this practice so that the people in these roles in the practice are on the same path I am and see the vision and want the same thing I do, which, to be honest, I wasn't even exactly sure what that was. I felt like if I didn't try to figure it out, I was going to fall victim to people that did not want to change, not changing.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. So what I'm hearing you saying is, that look, you walked into a practice, even though you bought it, the original, you know, the OG was still there. So whether he or she is the owner or not, there's a lot of deference that goes to that person. You love the practice, you love Marshall, but you also have your own dream and vision, or some semblance of a vision,
right,
of where you wanted to get to.
Yeah.
What were some of the things, just a few things, or a few, you know, a little bit about what were some of the things that you wanted to change from the business or the clinical part of the business of the practice?
Let me also say, like, year one, it was like, I was just so ecstatic to own a practice and to have it work, you know? So it was great. And it was kind of like, he had obviously achieved a certain level of success. So my mentality was, let me just first replicate this so I can at least do this. And then I have a feeling that as I do that, I'll start to get a sense for what things I may or may not want to change. And that's kind of what happened. But the earliest things I started to notice, in addition to, like, you know, maybe wanting to have different types of people in the practice in certain roles, was also like getting anxiety about, there was like not as much organization as maybe we'd like in terms of accounts receivable, for example, and scheduling. And again, like right away when I first bought the practice, it was like, oh, these numbers work, this is great. And then it became like, I'm working my ass off and we're like leaving 20% on the table. Like, something's wrong with that. Or at least I don't want to practice like that. I kind of realized, okay, there need to be systems that have to be implemented, and it's not just going to happen because I'm, you know, because it's what I want.
Like, what brought you to our mastermind programs specifically? Like there's lots of choices out there, right? I mean,
yeah, sure.
So what about our program stuck out to you?
I mean, it always helps to have a strong recommendation from a good friend. So again, I bring up Davey.
So Davey and Joey, yeah.
Davey was like, you just got to do it. Just trust me. His words were, it was the best CE he had ever taken. And then he gave me Sully's number, I think. And I had a conversation with Sully, and I had kind of known about you guys just from from Facebook groups or podcasts and that sort of stuff. And they seem like they know what they're doing. And I'm kind of like a big believer in trying to seize an opportunity when it presents itself. So here I am, and I was talking to Sully. He's like, okay, well, I can't think of a reason not to do this. You know, this, I don't even know what it's going to be, but everything is telling me do this, and you're going to, you know, be glad that you did.
All right. So I hear that all the time where people just, it's almost like blind trust.
100%.
So as a business owner, I've got to find a way to fix that a little bit. All right. So you come to the retreat for 2 to 3 days for the Jumpstart weekend, the Clarity weekend. What was your takeaway from that weekend? And what did you decide that you wanted to implement when you went back?
Perfect segue. Cause like I said, I remember driving down that night. I worked, I think it was a Thursday I came down. So I just went home real quick and then drove down to Raleigh, cause it's not that far. And really didn't know what to expect. But like, if I had to say, the sense that I felt was like almost like not like self-congratulatory, but I was like proud to be there. And I was like, I'm not sure what I really didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I felt like really happy and proud to be in the room. And then like very, very quickly, I sort of like had an oh shit moment, and it almost as if like you completely deconstructed me, you know? And I was sort of like in on my high horse and then got a dose of reality and was deconstructed. And I remember just Saturday, like, you know, like the mind blown emoji, like it was like that. And I was listening to everything that you were saying and talking with everyone else that was there and just feeling like part of me was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, you know, but like, I don't know how to do this or if I can. And I was really overwhelmed. Like, it was like scary, actually.
No, I get it, because it's a lot.
There is a little fear in there, but I feel like that can be a good teacher too. And then I hung around Sunday, like until everyone else left, because I just wanted to soak it all up. But I remember feeling like kind of not even fully aware of the things I've already mentioned to you about, like, I know I need to change some people on the team. And it was forcing me to confront those things. And I was scared that I didn't know if I'd be able to, like, can I do this? I drove back and the weather was awful. It was like sleeting, raining, snowing kind of. And my windshield wiper was like doing this weird thing where like right where I'd want to see, I couldn't really see that well. So I had to like kind of cock my head a little bit the whole time. It's just like very uncomfortable physically and mentally. But I remember latching on to photography because that felt like something I could control. And that was a big thing that we talked about that weekend. And
just for our listeners, for the audience, what did you take away from photography as the purpose of photography?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
What I took away from it was it felt like the fundamental building block of everything else in terms of, we'll just say case acceptance, but patient communication, all that stuff. You got to remember also, I know you know this, but like at the time, and actually until more recently than I'd like to admit, I didn't even have computers in the office, you know?
I do remember that. So
we did have a camera though, you know, talking about everything that we talked about that first weekend was so different from how I was doing things that it was just really intimidating. But I knew that I could take photographs and I knew that I could upload them and I was like going to bring a patient back for like a planning visit and look at the photos with them and talk about it and just kind of see if that did anything.
What were your expectations after just, hey, I'm going to put photos in? What were your expectations and what was the reality?
I think my expectations didn't go beyond just, I'm going to do this and then we'll see. Like, it was like the easy way it was the only way I could, that was where I had to start. I didn't know what would happen. So it was kind of like T-Bone and Sully just blew my mind wide open and it's a little bit scary. I mean, it was just like, talk about throwing the cart before the horse is how I felt, but I can take photos. Let's see what happens if I just do that. I don't know. I mean, I could get like 10 no's, goodbye, like rejections, but it was just like the concept of numbers and at-bats. So what I started doing is with these cases, bringing people in and talking, and then suddenly people started accepting stuff.
And these are the same patients that were already in your practice, that have been seeing Marshall for years. Yeah. It's not like you suddenly did marketing or anything like that.
No.
It's not like you even had computers to show them all this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. There is a purity to it. It was just the pictures, like just putting pictures up and discussing things and letting them see and then talking about like what treatment options are or what, you know, I recommended. And then I it was really just that simple. Just we had a consult room. There was a computer in the consult room. So I took photographs and put them up and discussed stuff and people started accepting treatment, which then it became, okay, now I need financial arrangements. And that's a work in progress still, of course. But like it became evident really quickly that now people are saying yes to, you know, bigger stuff. And I've got to, we got to keep this organized, both in terms of like how we sequence the treatment and also how they're paying for it.
And so we had talked about this during the weekend, right?
Yeah. And there was like this general like concept. There's like things like there's some themes or that keep coming up. Like one of them was like creating a new problem by solving another one, sort of. And so the photography was a great step forward, but then it created a new problem of like, how are you going to make sure that you're collecting and keeping every, and really I see it as like, not just so we can collect, but like as a courtesy to the patient to make their lives a bit easier and less overwhelming. And so then I had to just, basically copy your financial menu essentially and start using that. And then that.
And what did you expect of that? Like, so let's back up for a second, because what were your expectations looking back on the weekend? Because we spent a lot of time emphasizing the financial menu. What did you think sitting in the audience? Like, these guys are crazy, not so crazy. And then what was the reality of actually putting it in place?
I remember feeling like, I don't like the word menu, and I still don't really like the word menu, but like context in which you guys were discussing this stuff was like so far ahead of what I thought I'd be able to, I don't know, like, and this kind of, some of it in a weird way plays back to like when I was an associate in Hermosa Beach where no one had dental problems, and it was very different from Norfolk where there's more dentistry than could be done, working off an awful fee schedule and basically like getting pressure from a manager to like push people into getting crowns even if they don't need them or something. Like that was what I thought of when I thought of case acceptance, and it made me feel horrible, and like I just hated everything about that. So when we were talking about case acceptance, part of that came back and made me cringe because I thought like, oh no, I'm like, I have to go back there to that place where I'm like selling something to someone, right? But the photography broke that down because it wasn't selling, like, again, different patient population, these patients need work. Yeah, the financial thing when it was talked about that first weekend was so foreign to me at that point that I don't know if I like it, like abstract, you know.
And then what has been the result of putting it in place?
Well, okay, so the result of getting that, those, like the photography and then the arrangements, then it became, okay, now where do I put these people? And so then it was like scheduling matters. And
it's amazing, you're just going right down the list of how we do this.
It's, but it's I know that, but like it's exactly how it's gone. And I'm by, like, I still feel like I'm this far into it, you know? And that's a really, really good thing because it's done wonders for the practice, made me a lot happier. And I only feel like I'm like, I still have like this much to go. So it's very encouraging. And it's also very like scalable in a way because it's the one thing begets the next. And then, you know, it, I don't know, it amplifies.
Yeah, to kind of put it in kind of to summarize what Ryan's saying is, our concept is you got to create the problem before you can solve the problem, okay? And the challenge most dentists face is they don't have a case acceptance problem because they fix broken teeth. And when you fix one tooth at a time that is broken, case acceptance is high. And when you fix one tooth at a time, you need 30-minute to one-hour appointments to fix everything. So scheduling is terribly easy. But then what happens is when you start showing people pictures, they start saying, why do I only want to fix that? Patients on their own start saying, I don't want to fix that one. I want to fix all of this. And then when they say that, then they're like, well, now this is more than a few hundred dollars. And so then the patients say, well, I want to do this, but I can't quite afford to do this. And so that's where the financial menu comes in place, is to help people know what their options are to afford it. But then the problem comes in is they say, hey, I want to do all this dentistry, and it's no longer a 30-minute or a one-hour visit. Now it's a 2-3-4-hour visit, and your schedule for how many of the years Marshall has owned the practice, had owned the practice, was built on 30-minute to one-hour blocks or appointments, and now you're suddenly doing things that are 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours long, and you're like, where the heck do we put all these people? And so that's kind of, you got to create the problem before you can solve the problem. And I'm always a firm believer that photography is the linchpin in all of this to get the problem started. Because when you show people what's possible, most people want to do it all. It's time, fear, and money that gets in the way. And so that's the next set of things that we solve. Now, Ryan, you came because you wanted to be a better leader and you were worried about your team members. How has this helped that part of your practice?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Like, I get a lot of support. It's real easy, even when you're still practicing with your mentor and the guy that sold you the practice, to feel like you're like sort of alone on an island, isolated as a dentist for some reason. And so this being a part of this group and talking with you all like pretty much constantly, like it, even if you know, more than just like once a month on like a conference call, like there's a text thread that goes all the time, is that everyone else, and by the way, so many of them are so much further, like, you know, years ahead of where I am now, but like they're still dealing with the
same. Well, that's in your mind, by the way. They all have this. We all have the same. I have the same problem 22 years in.
Yeah.
That you have. No. You know, it doesn't change.
That's just it. That's what I'm saying. It's like they've been doing what I've started doing longer. Okay, that's fine. And so they're a little further ahead in one sense. But like, yeah, the problem still exists. It's the same stuff we're all dealing with. So it's helped me not feel like I'm insane, you know, and that helps me to approach everything a little bit differently. It's a weird time right now. So back to the leadership thing. So I had, crazy enough, I had an assistant quit today who was going to dental school next year and was already leaving like May 3rd was her last day. And I've got another assistant who's maybe going into labor right now, if not certainly tomorrow or the next day. So
oh my God.
The one that I really needed to stay, like I've basically kind of, I don't want to say carried her, but she's had a job here where we really didn't need her to have a job here for so long, knowing that this day would come where I'd need her for like a month or even 2 weeks. And she just had had enough. So why am I saying this? I don't know. There was somewhere I was going with that. How has it helped? So I don't know. I'm still facing challenges. It can be incredibly tough.
Here's what I would say, Ryan, about this. Yeah. Let me help you with this one, okay?
Thank you.
Is we all face leadership challenges and we face team challenges. And here's what I firmly believe. They will never go away. Okay? No matter how good you get, you will always need to be a little bit better leader. No matter how long, far along you are as an owner, as a dentist, you'll always have team turnover and team change. So you'll always be battling this whole thing. Or if you have the same team, you'll have team complacency. But what I do know is that if we fix fundamental flaws in our practice, some of that unhappiness and discontent goes away by winning. So if I can get you to see less patients, do more in revenue, collect more money, and do more of the dentistry you like doing, you'll tolerate some of those things a little bit more because at least going to work and doing the work you like is fun. Is that a fair statement?
100%. Absolutely. Okay.
So I think that's kind of where we're at. And so
if you don't mind sharing, tell us kind of
what has changed economically and from a number of patients that you're seeing and the type of dentistry that you're doing, to give some context from literally implementing photography, financial menu, and having somebody to help hold your hand, to answer the questions, to work with your team members, doing all of that. Kind of what's happened for you there?
Yeah. So long and short of it, year one, produced 1.2, collected a million. I'll share numbers. I don't care. It's just easier for me to do it this way. And I'm happy to share this stuff. The next year was like produced 1.4, collected 1.2. And then last year was produced 1.6, collect 1.5. So from collecting a million to 1.5, part of that too is like what's also been happening is that the percentage of that, you know, the stuff I'm bringing in that's me is gone up too. So like last, you know, it maybe started out more like 50-50 and it's become more like 80-20. So I'm essentially producing and collecting more, like the lion's share, let's say, but I'm also working I've had more time off. Okay. And the day but the main thing is like just the days are more enjoyable and I see like a third of the patients that I used to. So even things that I don't need an hour for, I try to keep the schedule like the, you know, like six units for, you know, for even like a single, you know, for whatever it is. And okay, this is cool. 'Cause yesterday I had a look-see patient come in, and we gave her an hour and I ended up doing root canals on 7 and 8 and posts and temp crowns and everything. 'Cause she's going to New Orleans for like a week and she leaves tomorrow. And she was like crying and so thankful and, you know, and it was really nice to be able to do that.
And she paid you.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And we had time because there wasn't a bunch of other stuff that really didn't need to be there because the schedules are prioritized.
Right. Well,
and go ahead. You know, some days it like there could be days where it's like you have all this empty space and it doesn't translate to same day stuff, but you know, but there's always, you know, it's time well spent. I'm doing something in that time, whether it's pulling something out of hygiene and then having like the infrastructure to like there was like a single implant I'm doing on Friday, I think, that came out of hygiene this week. And in the little bits of free time that I have, it's like I can go on Exocad and design a surgical guide and print it and have everything ready for Friday.
Yeah, I think that's what people don't understand about getting rid of some of the busyness. Is that you leave yourself space for the opportunity when something does walk in or walk up, and the opportunity to plan and get things together and do all of that. It's pretty amazing what can be done there. So with all of this said, Ryan, what's next for Ryan Simone? Where do you want to get to, and what are you trying to work on now?
That's a good question. I am still, you know, as much as this whole thing has been an exercise in advancing like my business skill set and leadership skill set, which I want to continue to do, like to great effect. It's also developing clinically and wanting to continue to push forward with my skill set. And I love dentistry and I want to be able to offer the best dentistry that can be offered to the best of my ability. So I've been spending a lot of time advancing my skill set. And this kind of plays into the other stuff we talked about, where it's like photography turns into financial arrangements, into scheduling. And now it's turning into like sedation and the need to sedate people more. So I just got certified for oral sedation and I'm implementing that now. So probably the trend will continue to do something with like, I hate to say like bigger cases. Mm-hmm. It sounds reductive or it sounds like a pissing contest. I don't mean it like that. To me, it's like more like seeing the dentistry, knowing how to solve the problem and then being able to execute it and do a really good job. So more of that. At some point in the near future, you know, I'm part of my riddle to solve is like, what is this practice going to look like in a year? Because you know, or 6 months or 18 months, because Marshall won't be here forever. And I love him to death and I want him to stay as long as he wants to stay, but it's not going to be forever. So that's why I've started focusing on some metrics like, well, how much of the monthly production is from me and how much is it from him? And if he were to say tomorrow that he's just done, then am I going to be able to keep things going until I can find an associate and grow the practice that way? That's been another thrust for me to continue to grow and to make sure that business-wise we're sound is that, you know, at the end of the day, I bought like a two-guy practice, but, you know, can I set things up in a way that I can have the business continue to perform as I need it to, even if it just comes down to just being me for a period of time?
We're here with you through that transition. We've done that a few times. And, you know, and the key is, for me, the key is we should always be growing. We should not be growing by just doing more of the same. You know, I would argue that the growth comes from you changing what you're doing and then giving away what you were once doing to the next person. So it's not necessarily doubling the size of the physical size of the practice, but doubling the revenue of the practice, and then continuing to go. And what's amazing to me, Ryan, in all of this is those four fundamentals that we focused on: diagnosis, communication, financial menu, firm financial arrangements, and scheduling are the same things I work on 22 years into practice. And what I would tell everybody in listening to this is, it sounds terribly easy what we're talking about, because we talk about it all the time on the podcast, and people always say, well, I'm doing that. But the truth is we're not really doing it. We're not implementing it at the right level or at a high level or at a complete level or at a scalable level with our team on board. And that's kind of where the real magic happens, is once you get the team on board and they're most of the heavy lifting. And that's where a group like the Mastermind or the monthly accountability calls or the monthly individual coaching calls or just the group part of it is so amazing, is because it kind of helps everybody stay on track and stay in motion. And to me, that's what most people are missing from just listening to the podcast and dabbling in the things that we're talking about.
One of the most profound moments for me in this whole journey was taking one of my assistants to the 3D printing course, as it were. Mm-hmm. As it were is such a weird saying, but that's what you would say there. But it still just seems weird to say. But anyway, as it were, it was a 3D printing course at Sully's office. And I came a day early. It was like a couple days before our second weekend.
Right.
And I brought my assistant Maria, who's so great and so into this stuff too. And like to see her witness what it can look like, you know, what a more mature version of the same principles and just chipping away at it for a long time. To see her see a more complete version of the vision was more overwhelming than for me to, because I still haven't even been to your office, but I've been to Sully's office, and for me it was great to see, like, but to witness her see it was really special.
Yeah, and what Ryan's referring to is, it's not just see the office, that's really sure, you know, Sully's office is amazing physically, but to see the autonomy and the leadership and the ownership mentality that team members have, and for other team members to see that it really is possible and that there is something greater and better available to them. To me, that's part of the magic of all of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's also part of like where I want my future to lie, is like really continuing to develop a team. And I'm on my way. And, you know, since the time I started, I've replaced some people with some people that are a much, much better fit that I'm so excited about, and I'm so happy to be on this journey with, and I want to just double down on that and, you know, have it be a place where even in today's insane market, you know, hopefully people are coming to knock on my door and want to work here, because it's obvious what like a great culture it is, you know?
And that's the beauty of it. It's creating sustainable futures, not a, hey, 1 year success story. We want to create 10 year, 20 year, 30 years, however long your career may be. And that's amazing. So Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing kind of what's been working in your practice. And how can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you questions?
Shoot me an email. My email is ryancsimone@gmail.com. That's probably the easiest way.
And are you on social media where people can slide into your DMs?
They can slide into those DMs at Ramon, which is a fancy contraction of my first and last name, R-I-M-O-N-E. Yeah, that's probably two best places.
All right, perfect. Ryan, well, thank you to the audience and fans and listeners out there, to our podcast family. Thank you for tuning in this week. And we look forward to continue to bring you amazing value each week through our podcast. So thank you guys very much.
Much love. Peace.